What a difference a week makes, doesn't it? I had the opportunity to go out of town to take a young girl back to college, spend a week up there exploring another state, and come back and say, what happened? Spring busting out all over. And one of those that I just love to take notice of is the redbud tree. It seems like it's the crier of spring. It's the one that jumps out and says, it's time, guys, let's all change. And before anyone else does, I don't want to discount the Bradford pear. I know it's out there, but I just love the redbud. Just driving along the road, you notice. This is the only time of year you're ever going to notice a redbud for about 4 weeks now, and everything else is going to cover it up. And then my son asked me, Dad, why do they call the redbud red? It's obviously not. It's violet, it's a purple, and it's like, well, you know. And so it stumps you. We expect things to produce the fruit of their name or what they are. If we plant an apple tree, we expect apples. If we plant an orange tree, we expect oranges. Don't know how they get those seedless ones still. But we expect that. And with Christians, when we are born of the Spirit, we should also live by the Spirit. So as we continue in our study of Galatians, and in chapter 5, I'd like to remind you about all the contrasts that we have gone through. Paul has contrasted law versus promise. In a sense, he's saying, look at Moses and look at Abraham. Abraham walked by faith. Moses brought the law. He also then goes and talks about a woman named Hagar, a slave, versus a woman named Sarah, the wife. Slave will have children born of slavery. The wife, child of promise, in this case of Sarah. He contrasted living in slavery versus living in freedom. And then goes on to talk about those of you who want to be circumcised versus those of you who are uncircumcised. What is the significance of that? When you become circumcised, you're putting on the whole law. You're binding yourself to that. And then tonight, he contrasts works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. Now, before we begin, let's jump up to the beginning of chapter 5, where it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Who goes back into slavery after experiencing it? Who does that? Why does he even need to warn us? And then as Americans, we as those who love our liberty, our freedom, don't you just kind of want to say, it is for freedom. Whee! Because it sounds like I get to do what I want. Is that what it says? To be born of freedom? How indebted am I to the person who freed me? How does that change the way that I live my life? Now let's go into verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Spirit, sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Now this is getting tougher, isn't it? Because we can do this. What are we born of? We're born of flesh. We live in the flesh. But we have been born of the Spirit. That seal of the Spirit on our heart. They're not compatible. The sinful natures desire what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Here comes a list. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. We could talk about adultery. We could talk about fornication. Those are terms that we typically understand. Those are of the sinful nature. Impurity and debauchery. Impurity is sometimes a word that we associate with the Old Testament, becoming contaminated, touching something that was unclean. But I think in this particular case, he's talking about how easy it is for us Christians to get involved with things which aren't pure. We could describe it as the dirty joke, the dirty story, things that aren't born of the Spirit. Have you been out debauchering lately? Some of these words even are getting what I call rebranded. Let's not call adultery adultery. I don't even know what we call it. The victimless crime, that doesn't work. Debauchery. Think about what you watch on TV. Trying to make it appropriate to us. What kind of message are we getting from the things that we watch? I can talk about violence. I can talk about sexually explicit. Those are the things that some of the labels are warning us about. I could talk to you about a lifestyle that's not consistent with Christian living. And yet we pay $15, $20 to see movies like that. And we may say, well, I don't live that way. I'm just watching that. But is it consistent with your life? As a parent, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching with you. We're all in the same boat. I said, hey, let's watch this movie. It'll be great. It was as a young man, I watched that and I plug it in and I sit down with my 12-year-old. And I start thinking, wow, I don't remember that. That wasn't all that appropriate. And I tend to look at it in a different way and how easy it is to become exposed to even enjoy and appreciate certain types of lifestyle. We can talk about idolatry and witchcraft. We have a pretty good idea about that, though it's not confined to actual images, is it? We don't see people bowing down to graven images. But is there still idolatry out there? Are there things that we desire so much above anything else? My simple definition for idolatry is worshiping the created, that which was created, over the Creator. Now we can talk about money. We can talk about beauty. We can talk about things in this world that we put so much value on, youth. Witchcraft. The dark arts. Shouldn't be dabbling in that. It's troubling. Sometimes I have to stop and say, what's the motive behind this film series or this book series? Why did they choose to do this? Why do they delve into sorcery and witchcraft and things like that and put a new spin on it in a positive way? What are they trying to accomplish? Some of these are going to be a little easier. Hatred. That's born of the flesh. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition. Now he's talking about things that we see on our local news. Those are the things that get attention in this world. Let's see somebody get angry. Let's see somebody hit someone. Let's see somebody, on and on we go. Selfish ambition. Dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Pretty hard-hitting list. And I know as Christians we say, we stay away from that. We stay away from that. But I catch myself, what are you feeding yourself, your brain, as you watch TV, as you consume entertainment, as you listen to music? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not enter the kingdom of God. Has Paul got your attention? Scary words. What's he saying? I'm serious about this. It's not the only time that Paul talks about lists of things in this kind of a strong language. I would ask you to turn into 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. Believers are suing each other, taking each other to court. And Paul writes this in chapter 6 and verse 7. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong. And you do this to your own brothers. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of similarities in those two lists. But he adds this, which is why we turn to this text. And that is what some of you were. That's what you were. Now, if that's what you were, that's not who you are now, right? That's the way it's supposed to work. So what's happening in the church in Corinth? They're slipping back into old habits, slipping back into the flesh. They've been born of the Spirit. They're now suing each other, but they've been born of the Spirit. But you were washed. You were all these things, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's what happened to you. You've changed. You're different. You live a new life. Working with kids in this next section in Galatians, I love the song. I can't go on without singing it. It's how I keep it all together. It starts out, the fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. If you want to be an apple, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What did we just read before that? What did we read just before that in the works of the flesh? What an incredible contrast to hear right after hearing the works of the flesh. The works of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Which do you want? Which do you want to live in? It's as obvious as, do I want to live in a slave now to sin, or do I want to live free, live out the fruits of the Spirit? I want to also challenge you that it's not just what I call cream puff living, is it? Paul's writing these words, and then also Paul lives them out, doesn't he? If we were to turn into Acts 22, we could go through a review of the life that Paul lived before being born of the Spirit. He was diligent in doing what? Persecuting Christians. He was zealous, dragging them out of their homes, women and children. He was at the top of his game in his career, in his belief, in his group. He was successful. But now, let's turn into 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 11, as Paul explains the things that he's been going through, he's defending his apostleship. And I will begin just before, or just midway into verse 22. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder than the details. I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? I do not inwardly burn. Now let's sing the song. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul, did you hear yourself right? How are those compatible? Paul, you went through so much. Where's the joy, the peace? You know what the answer, though, is? It's Paul's attitude now. It's Paul's purpose. He can face those obstacles. Why? Because he can see the good that God is doing through them. He can see that he is walking in the steps of light. And he can see the kingdom spreading. Is he personally benefiting? Sometimes not the way I keep score. Woo! Could you let up a little bit? Could you give me a little easy street? But Paul doesn't ask for that. Because everywhere he goes, yes, people reject it. Yes, people react violently. But what also happens? Some hear the word and obey. And others come back to hear more. And others search the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul is saying are true. Paul counts it as joy. Paul finds peace because he's at peace with the one who's truly important, which is God. I'm at peace with God. I don't war against him. I don't kick against the pricks like Jesus said in using the King James Version on the road to Damascus. I am one with him. I love the brothers and the sisters that I minister to. I hurt for them, but I love them deeply. I have joy in their joy. I have joy in their hope. I have that peace with them because I know I've done everything I can. I've got patience because God has taught me patience through adversity or through cream puff living. I don't think I've ever seen anybody eating donuts get anything but a sugar high, right? Where do you grow? Through the challenges in life, through the difficulty, through the adversity. Where do you learn to be kind? Where did Paul learn all these other traits and get to use them that they abound? Paul's an great example in someone who dedicates their life to Christ and just doesn't turn back. He knows that he's on the right side, that he is proclaiming the truth, and that the benefits, if are not realized in this life, they will be realized after this life. He mimics Christ and him crucified. But the fruit, continuing in verse 22, and Don Crawford would, if he were here tonight, he would be glad to hear that I remembered that he clearly told me, Daryl, it is not plural. It is singular. The fruit. You don't just produce this one or that one. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. It's interesting how he concludes what living by the Spirit, in a sense, living with those blessings and those gifts, what it may cause in individual Christians, that they may become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Why is he more blessed than me? What did he do to deserve this or that? Why is his life easier than mine? And those are all, again, things which take us back to the flesh. Now, I ask you, what attitudes do you have to deal with the things in life? Where's the entertainment that you seek out to fill the voids or the empty spots in your life? Are you still in conflict? As I found myself, am I still in conflict? Are there things of the flesh that I still war against? Paul even admitted that, did he not? Praying three times to have it removed, the thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh removed. And yet, it seemed to serve a purpose. But where is there love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Is that in my life? Is that abounding? Why do I desire the works of the flesh then? Why do I so easily resort into anger? Why do I sink into debauchery? That's who I was, not who I am. And as Christian, we're called to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. I'll give you some help. If you want to do that, you still need to be in His Word. And you're going to need help. That means you're going to need to be in prayer. You also need to check who you hang around with. Just a simple story, and I'll conclude. One thing that I wanted so much for my own children to have you pray for. As you send them out in the world, as you send them out into schools, or even in church, wherever they are, God, please, would you give them at least one good friend so that they can stand together, encouraging one another. Now take a moment, look around you. Look around. What if we had each other to stand with? I encourage you to live that life to its fullest, to stand for God and not be tempted back into the flesh. What if we all had moms and dads, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, grandma and grandfathers, all encouraging us to live and walk by faith, to walk in the light? Isn't that what church is supposed to be? Isn't that the life that we're called to live? It can be so great. If you have not begun that walk, if you've not had the seal of the Spirit put on, don't wait any longer. It is so much better to live by the fruit of the Spirit, to enjoy those benefits, than to spend one day, one moment in the world. It's the only answer to life's difficult questions, to satisfying the soul. Don't put it off. We can pray for you in any way. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Near the cross.